This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels. Once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Health News Channel. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. In a series of interviews, once again, we are joined by Dr. Milan Riobay, a board-certified medical doctor and specialist in traditional Chinese medicine and integrative medicine. She is the founder and director of the Riobay Institute of Integrative Medicine, located in Stuart, Florida, a progressive medical practice that fuses traditional Chinese medicine with the cutting-edge technology of integrative medicine. On this episode of eHealth Radio, Dr. Riobay will be discussing debunking common myths and medications, vitamins, and hormones. Dr. Riobay, always great to have you with us on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It's great to be here again.
Certainly good to have you back. So, Dr. Riobay, to kick things off, why are so many medications unsafe long-term?
Well, Eric, medications are unsafe for several reasons. At the Riobay Institute, we recognize that most prescription drugs are synthetic or artificial in nature. Therefore, they immediately pose a problem for the body to use and eliminate. The body was designed to be in its natural environment 40,000 years ago, and when you introduce things that are unnatural into it, it can deal with them, but it struggles to do so. It may not show on the surface immediately, but as it's exposed day after day and perhaps year after year to artificial or unnatural products, such as the toxins that are in the air and pesticides in our food, and in this case, medications that are synthetic, it begins to struggle. And we see this as side effects. We see this as long-term problems. For example, artificial hormones have been shown to cause strokes and cancer after 5 years of use. So it's not an immediate impact, so it's hard to see the association right away. But when we go back and look at how the body functions and how it was made to deal with natural things only, we begin to piece this together. So for one, medications are overutilized for times that are well beyond the times that they're proven safe in studies. So we do a lot of short-term studies here in the United States, but we end up using our medications long-term for years. And what we do is we add other medications to it, and those are not studied. We don't have studies in the United States to show safety in using multiple synthetic drugs at the same time. So we're doing things that are not really proven safe out of what we perceive to be a need or a necessity, but we do have a better way. You know, the medications are overused because conventional medicine is simply not on a path to prevention. Again, in conventional medicine, we diagnose and treat diseases. So we're going to use medications quite a bit because that is our paradigm. What we should be looking for instead are the underlying causes of symptoms to treat them with natural alternatives that the body will tolerate better and utilize more effectively to treat the underlying cause and eliminate the symptom, thereby preventing diseases long term. Over time, forcing the body to do specific chemical reactions, such as synthetic medications do, it doesn't work because it stresses the body too much. So what happens is we mask the symptom with the medication because we're forcing the body to do that. But underneath the surface, what's happening is the body is having to greatly adapt to this foreign substance that's in it. And we see this as side effects and problems long term. We see nutrient deficiencies long term with the use of certain prescription drugs. The most obvious example are the statin drugs that are used to lower cholesterol in this country. This notoriously lowers blood levels of CoQ10, which is a very powerful antioxidant. And this is a significant reason why many people on statin drugs have aches and pains on these medications. These particular medications go on after a few years of use to actually cause diabetes. So statin drugs have been shown to cause diabetes when used long-term. The irony here is that statin drugs were supposed to be drugs that would prevent heart attacks in patients that are at high risk to have heart attacks. And here they are causing an even more significant risk for a heart attack after they're used long-term, which is diabetes. Diabetes is a much greater risk factor for you to have a heart attack than is high cholesterol. So this medication is actually doing the exact opposite thing of what it was intended to do. And this is what we see with medications that are synthetic, overutilized, and used well beyond the time that they're safe, and then used with other medications when those combinations of medications are not studied. So at the Rio Bay Institute, we look at the root cause of symptoms. Going back to statins, if you look at the original cause of high cholesterol, you begin to piece together a better solution to treat high cholesterol. So when we look at cholesterol, it's actually a precursor for your body to make hormones. So your adrenal and ovarian hormones are actually made from cholesterol. So one of the reasons that the body tends to make more cholesterol is in an attempt to make more hormones, because that's just the body's natural function. So as we age and we have hormonal imbalances due to stress, the body begins to try and make hormones because it's deficient in hormones. So we see our estrogen levels in women start to drop. We sometimes see cortisol and DHEA, which are adrenal stress handling hormones, start to drop, especially under chronic stress when they're overutilized. The body has a built-in mechanism to try and make more hormones, so it's going to secrete more cholesterol. So if we set on a path to prevention, we can see that the body is trying to correct itself, and we can help the body to correct itself by assisting it to balance its own hormones. And then we see that the cholesterol will naturally go down. Another reason for high cholesterol is that the liver has difficulty processing this cholesterol because it may be having nutrient deficiencies and toxins accumulating in it as just a long-term effect of chronic stress. Chronic stress causes a lot of nutrient deficiencies and toxin buildup, and one of the main systems that is affected is the liver, which is one of our main detoxification systems. So what happens is the cholesterol is processed in the liver, and when the liver doesn't work properly, that cholesterol will pile up. So when we're on a path to prevention and we realize that the cause is toxin buildup and nutrient deficits in the liver, you'd want to correct those nutrient deficits and get those toxins out of the liver so that the cholesterol is better processed. And then you'll naturally see that that cholesterol will go down. So there are better ways that we can employ today. Actually, these methods have been around for thousands of years, really. They're not new. But we have a better way that we can manage conditions so that we don't have to use these unsafe medications long term. Medications are invaluable for life-threatening conditions. So when you're having an acute heart attack, there are life-saving medications that you'll take that will save your life. The problem is that you don't want to use those medications beyond their point of effectiveness, and that's what's happened here in the United States, so we do need a better path. And that's how we practice at the Rio Bay Institute. We look for things that are causing these conditions so that we treat them from a natural, safe perspective, using the body's own function and enhancing the body's function to make it more normal.
Dr. Rio Bay, let's look at vitamins. Why all the controversy around and surrounding vitamins?
Well, when we talk about correcting nutrient deficits, one of the, main things that we do are correct vitamin deficiencies. And there is a lot of controversy in the United States about vitamins, but there really shouldn't be a controversy if you really kind of look at it a little bit more closely. The controversy boils down to the fact that over-the-counter vitamins are very often synthetic, much like our medications are synthetic and artificial. Our vitamins are exactly the same way when made by certain manufacturers. And then the problem is that it's not FDA regulated. In other words, there's no government requirement for the manufacturer of that vitamin to disclose that they're giving you synthetic vitamins. And that's a critical point because, again, we go back to body function. The body was created to use natural vitamins, or the body evolved, if you will, to use natural vitamins. It did not evolve to use synthetic or artificial vitamins. The difference is very, very important because if you look at the structure of a synthetic vitamin, it doesn't look like the natural vitamin. And when we go down into the cellular function of the body, we see that that's a big deal. It's a very big deal when you have a vitamin that doesn't look the same as what the body is designed to use, because then you don't get the same chemical reactions from the body that you would. And that creates the problems that we see with synthetic vitamins in the United States. In 2011, there was a study called the SELECT study that was released on vitamin E. And it was very controversial because it showed that vitamin E increases the risk of prostate cancer in males. We know based on decades of research that vitamin E does not cause cancer. But if you go back to the SELECT study and you actually look at the study and you look at the chemical structure of the vitamin E that was studied, it's synthetic vitamin E. It's not natural vitamin E. So knowing that fact, it's not a big surprise that the synthetic vitamin E would cause prostate cancer. What actually happens when you use synthetic vitamin E is that it reduces your levels of vitamin A, which is not supposed to happen. When you use synthetic vitamin E, it actually reduces other forms of vitamin E in the body and prevents the body from using those other forms. So now you create a vitamin deficiency by taking a synthetic vitamin, which is the exact opposite effect of what that vitamin is intended to do. When you use natural vitamin E, you do not decrease the levels of other vitamins. So vitamin A stays normal, the other forms of vitamin E stay normal, and we naturally see a prevention of diseases. We see prevention of heart disease, we see prevention of cancer with natural vitamin E that we do not see with synthetic vitamin E. The other thing to know about synthetic vitamin E is it's made out of petroleum, whereas natural vitamin E is made out of wheat germ oil and soybean oil. So there's a big difference between what is an artificial or synthetic vitamin and what is a natural vitamin. And unfortunately, in the United States, there is no requirement for a manufacturer to disclose whether they're using an artificial vitamin or a natural vitamin. So the other issue is that many over-the-counter vitamins put a lot of fillers and artificial coloring and preservatives in their vitamins, and that will reduce their ability to be absorbed into the body. So at the Rio Bay Institute, we use vitamins that are not only natural, but we also make sure that they don't have these fillers in them that will reduce their absorbability into the body. So if you're taking a multiple vitamin and it's not getting into the body and actually getting to the cells where they need to be, you're not going to get a benefit. And this is another reason why when we study vitamins in the United States, we tend to get these mixed results, because we don't take into account that we're using synthetic vitamins as opposed to natural vitamins, and we don't take into account that we're using vitamins that are loaded with fillers and artificial coloring and preservatives. So it's only natural that we're going to see inconsistent results. The other issue with vitamin studies in the United States is that if you don't determine that someone needs vitamins before you give it to them, you're not going to see a benefit. So if someone is not deficient in vitamin E and you're giving them vitamin E, you can't expect that you're going to see a difference. So you'll want to confirm what vitamins someone is deficient in before you prescribe them. So again, at the Rio Bay Institute, we perform cutting-edge cellular-based testing to determine specific vitamin needs before we prescribe them. That way we know exactly what that person requires to treat their underlying symptoms, or treat the underlying causes, rather, of their symptoms, so that their symptoms will actually resolve from a natural perspective. So there's a lot to know about vitamins that, unfortunately, there's just no requirement to disclose. So you just have to go to trusted brands that are independently studied and known to be safe and known to be natural and known to not have these artificial food colorings and preservatives in them, so that they make it into the body where they belong, into the cells, so that they can function optimally.
As mentioned, there is controversy around vitamins, also hormones. Get into why are hormones also controversial?
Yes, we talked about hormones in the question about medications when we were talking about cholesterol. So a lot of most of the hormones in the body that are made from the ovaries and the adrenal system are made out of cholesterol. And so why hormones are controversial goes back to some of the things we touched on in the previous questions. Again, in the United States, we use artificial hormones, we use synthetic hormones, and that's a big problem. Again, when you go down to the cellular level, the type of hormone that you're using is critically important. So when you look at a synthetic hormone under a microscope, it doesn't actually look like your own ovarian hormones or your own adrenal hormones. It looks different in several different positions. I explain this in my books, The Tao of Integrative Medicine and The Answer to Cancer. We've got drawings and illustrations of these synthetic hormones versus the natural-looking ones, so you can actually see the structural differences between them. When you go down and drill down into body function at the level of the cells where it actually happens, it's a big deal to have a synthetic hormone. What happens is, again, the body uses hormones like a blueprint. So your hormones have even more precision than a blueprint and tell your cells exactly what to do. They tell your cells how to make things, what ingredients to use to make those things. Essentially, they tell your cells which genes to turn on and off, and that leads to different things being made in the cell. If that synthetic hormone has a different blueprint than your body's original hormone blueprint, your cells are going to perform different functions than what's intended. And over time, again, you're going to see that that creates improper body function or abnormal body function over time, but just a little bit at a time. You know, and what happens is you get this trickle effect, you know, like a leaky faucet. You know, it doesn't overflow right away. It takes a while for that, for the, you know, water to overflow over the edge of the sink. It's the same thing with synthetic hormones. It takes a while for that body dysfunction to lead to significant symptoms and diseases. So when we look in the United States at our studies on hormones, we use synthetic hormones here in the United States. So what happens is you don't see the effects for 5 or even 10 years at times. So you're taking your hormones and your symptoms are being blocked by these synthetic hormones. So you think they're working for you. But underneath the surface, we see a lot of body dysfunction. And so after 5 years of use of our hormone replacement therapy here in the United States, we begin to see an increased risk of breast cancer and strokes. And with our oral contraceptive pills here in the United States, we begin to see that same increased risk after 10 years of use because our birth control pills are also artificial and synthetic. When you use natural hormones, there is no controversy. When you use hormones that are actually designed to be used by the human body naturally, what we see is proper body function, and that's a distinct difference between synthetic hormones and natural hormones. So there are other alternatives that we can use that more closely mimic the actual blueprints of the body and actually produce proper body function, and we see completely different results that are very, very positive with these other strategies. So at the Ryobi Institute, we recognize that not all hormones are manufactured equally. You know, there are synthetic hormones and natural hormones, and we choose to use the natural hormones that more properly mimic body function the way that it was intended. And so we see a lot of reduction of side effects, and we actually see reduction of long-term risks over time, and we see normalization of body function more readily.
Today we are speaking with, once again, Dr. Milan Ryobi, a board-certified medical doctor and specialist in traditional Chinese medicine and integrative medicine of the Ryobi Institute of Integrative Medicine located in Stuart, Florida, here on eHealth Radio's Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Ryobi, are there safe alternatives to take advantage of?
Yes, definitely, Eric. There are much safer alternatives. They're not frequently discussed here in the United States. But they are used in other countries, and we can safely and legally employ them here in the United States as well. At the Ryobi Institute, we use bioidentical hormone therapy, which has been used extensively in Europe for over 40 years. Bioidentical hormones have also been studied extensively in Europe for about 20 years and have been shown to be much safer alternatives to the hormones that we use here in the United States. The reason that they're called bioidentical hormones is because they actually look exactly like our own hormones. So when you look at them under the microscope, they look like our hormones, unlike the synthetic hormones that we tend to use here in the United States. And that, again, makes a big difference on the cellular level when we're trying to restore body function to prevent diseases or to treat chronic diseases. It's important to use hormones that the body is intended to use as opposed to synthetic or artificial hormones. When you use hormones that the body is intended to use, you see reductions of cancer, breast cancer in particular. We have, you know, decades of research on bioidentical hormones that show that they reduce the risk of breast cancer. We also have decades of research to show reductions in heart disease, strokes, and now Alzheimer's dementia as well. Use of bioidentical hormones has been studied and shown to prolong life and also improve quality of life. So we do see a lot of very positive studies in out of Europe. We have a few studies here in the United States, but it's not studied extensively because bioidentical hormones are not branded drugs. They tend to be compounded by pharmacists who are certified to make them. So they tend to be a lot more cost effective than our hormone replacement here in the United States, and even more importantly, they're much, much more effective. So at the Ryobi Institute, we use bioidentical hormones exclusively for our clients due to those very convincing studies out of Europe. Here we've done a few studies that have compared bioidentical hormone therapy to our more conventional synthetic hormones, and they bioidentical hormones have been shown to be, hands down, a better alternative. So that's what we use at the Ryobi Institute because we're on a path to prevention of diseases, and bioidentical hormones have been shown in multiple studies to do exactly that.
Lastly, Dr. Ryobi, how can consumers know where to begin here?
It's very difficult for an individual to know his or her needs without proper evaluation and guided treatment. In discussing the questions today, it's easy to see how people can fall prey to the many pitfalls that are out there when they're trying to improve their own health. So it's critical to consult an expert in integrative medicine. Without proper guidance, clients are often left stabbing in the dark for solutions with poor results. At the Ryobi Institute, we comprehensively evaluate each client and determine their customized needs for nutrition, lifestyle changes based on traditional Chinese medicine theory. And we also use cutting-edge cellular-based testing to complement Chinese medicine. And that gives a very personalized treatment plan that is treating the root causes of that person's symptoms and conditions. I make a point of this in my books, The Tao of Integrative Medicine and The Answer to Cancer, which help consumers know how to begin this process. On the path to prevention, a client's individual needs have to be known, and we have to give them a guided regimen, based on these known needs. This is what we do at the Ryobi Institute. Many of our clients often come to us after years of stabbing in the dark. They've read about supplements, they've tried them, they've read books and they've done things, but they don't get good results until it's a guided path, until we really have evaluated the causes of these symptoms, and we've, done some cutting-edge testing to find out exactly what their needs are. And then they're surprised to see how quickly they begin to feel better once the underlying causes of their symptoms are addressed from a more natural perspective. This is the path to prevention, and this is what we do.
As always, very informative, Dr. Ryobi. We certainly appreciate all the insight and information for your expertise and as well as your valuable time spent with us here today. Where can listeners find out more about you, your practice, and how can one be in touch as well?
Well, to learn more, I invite you to visit MilenRyobiMD.com, where you can pre-order The Tao of Integrative Medicine and The Answer to Cancer. You can also schedule your annual integrative checkup. And also, just to let the listeners know, in 2014, the American Board of Medical Specialties formally accepted the field of integrative medicine as a medical specialty. So this legitimized what was once considered a fringe system of medicine and, setting the United States on a path to prevention. So it's very exciting.
Most certainly. Well, Dr. Ryobi, once again, thanks for your time and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio, and certainly look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's good to be here.
We've been speaking with Dr. Milen Ryobi, a board-certified medical doctor and specialist in traditional Chinese medicine and integrative medicine. She is the founder and director of the Ryobi Institute of Integrative Medicine, located in Stuart, Florida, a progressive medical practice that fuses traditional Chinese medicine with the cutting-edge technology of integrative medicine. And for more information and for contact, simply visit MilenRyobiMD.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Health News Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.